Our thoughts today, I've been talking about this whole idea of the gospel community. And the book of Ephesians is just such an amazing book that helps us understand something of the nature of what it means to be part of this gospel community, the church. And because one of the things that we're trying to say in all of these things is that when we talk about the church, so often we think of this building, don't we? But the church is not that. The church is the people who are in relationship with one another and relationship with God. But more than that, the church at its very best is when you and I are out there doing the very best we can by living godly and Christian lives and connecting with people in such a way that their lives have been touched by our kindness, by our goodness, by our consideration, by our compassion, by all that God is doing in our lives. That's the church. Where is the church? Someone, you know, there's a wee song that we used to sing when we were kids, and it was in the CH3 hymn book. The church is wherever God's people are praying. You know, and the idea is the church is wherever we are, we bring something of that fellowship, the body of Christ, into the world. And so Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, is trying to encourage this church, this growing church at Ephesus, to remind them of the identity they have in Christ and what it means to be made alive in Christ. I'm going to just read a little section to you from this passage. I might read actually the chapter if you're very good and you're listening carefully. I might read through the whole chapter. I used to say that to Sarah Jane and Stephen when they were young, when we were reading the story. Remember, your dad or your mum would say to you, now if you're really good, I'll read a wee bit more, but you've really got to be listening well. And then here you would listen carefully. And then you wouldn't want the light to go out. Did you remember that? You wouldn't want the light to say, Daddy, read more. Sometimes it was just because they just wanted your company there a bit longer, isn't it? That's such a precious thing, isn't it? It's not so much the story, it's sometimes just the presence of a dad around or a mum around reading that story. And that's what makes this story alive, when the Spirit of God is here and makes this book come alive for us. And we hear God speak to us through the story that's been read. So, if you're seated comfortably, we'll go on with the Bible reading this evening. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our own sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of God's great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not for yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, you think that you're just a piece of, some people would like you to believe this, that you're just a piece of flesh and blood walking about, you know. You're just an accident. You're just an accident. Will you tell that to the person you love and say, you know what, you're just an accident. They say, no, I'm more than that. I'm more than just an accident. I've got a purpose. I've got a place. But if we believe that God has created us, what this passage tells us is, yes, you are. You are God's workmanship. I think that is quite amazing. You know, we Martha and I were on holiday this year, and we were in Florence, and we got a chance to go to see the David. And it is, you know, as we stood and looked at the David, and I stood and looked at the, lots of people there, but as I stood, I looked and I thought, I'll sit and see what this is all about. And as I looked, I'm sure I saw him move. Because it looked so real. There was just something amazing about that carving. You know, amazing. And then you look and you go, wow. And he did that. Michelangelo carved that when he was 26. And you go, wow, amazing. Amazing workmanship. But you know what? It doesn't move. It doesn't talk. And you know what? It's a copy of you and me. Because we are people who move about, we live, we talk, we communicate. There's no wires attached. There's no batteries needed to make his work. We are an amazing piece of God's workmanship. Now, I know some of us, if we get older, we start feeling crickety and all that. We say, God, can you not make us just a wee bit more flexible and work a bit better? But we are his workmanship. But it's more than that. It's through the relationships that we can make and build and make such a difference in the world. Because of who we are. Because of our attitude. Isn't it amazing? Attitude and enthusiasm can change a whole situation. We are his workmanship. So that's me just, I'm carrying on with the reading, but that was just a wee intervention into the reading there, if that's okay. Therefore, because of that, therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in their body by hands of men. Remember that at that time you are separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with which its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostilities. He came and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. May God bless to us this evening this reading from his word. To his name be praise and glory. I want to take a moment before we talk a little bit about the gospel community to just reflect on perhaps some of the things, a time of prayer, just a short time of prayer where we can pray for some of the things that might be on our heart this evening or things that you think we should be praying about as we gather together as God's people. So it's over to you for a moment. Just shout out if you've got any areas that you think we could just bring up in prayer, things to pray about.
We've been praying this week on Wednesday, we're in Edinburgh with the People's Bible, and on Wednesday evening after we finished, the land with all the equipment was stolen. We've just been praying for the return of that.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Continue with this project that's going on.
Uh-huh. Well, I hope we get it. Yeah. Remember that.
The work of the group that came across from Africa, just to thank God for the work that they've done this week.
What group's this, Graham?
The group that came from Africa. It was through Craig
Mellon. Oh, at Craig Mellon Church. Right, okay. Right, we'll pray for that. Remember them, yeah. Anything else? Yeah, we'll pray for them to get 10 homes. I think we might just be getting near enough 10 homes, but we'll pray that we might even get more. We could have even got more. And pray for, we need people to come, then that's the key, to encourage people to come to the house or the home groups when we get them started and running. Okay. Let's see. Right. I know, it's quite hard. Okay, we'll pray for that. Okay. I remember Jerry. Hope you're keeping well, Jerry, and we do remember you in our prayers, and we think about you often because you've been an inspiration to us, to encourage us to keep on this internet broadcasting. So you are very special to us and a real encouragement to us. So let's just say our prayer together, and thank you for all those on the internet who are listening in and sharing in the prayers of intercession tonight. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for our friends all over the world, and especially tonight we pray for Helmut's friend who has been bereaved and is now looking for employment. In the midst of a very difficult recession that's touching the whole of Europe, we remember that person and we ask your blessing upon them. We thank you for our friends around the world who share with us in our worship on a Sunday evening and on a Sunday morning. And we especially also want to remember Jerry. We thank you for his faithfulness and for his support to this congregation, living as he does in Bournemouth. We pray that your peace might rest with him and he might be encouraged and strengthened in his Christian witness wherever you take him this week. We pray for others looking in other parts of the world. We pray your blessing upon them, to encourage them and to bless them tonight. Father, we pray for the work of the Bible Society and this great task that is going around the UK just now of trying to encourage people to write a verse of the Bible in the King James Version and to have a Bible that's completed by people writing it by hand. Father, we pray that this equipment has been stolen, that's making it difficult for this to proceed. We pray that that might be found and that those who have taken it might find themselves convicted and troubled, and that they might return that equipment. Father, we pray for those who are struggling with illness in our town, especially those who are young and those who have to face cancer issues and especially tumours. We ask your blessing upon all who seek to minister to them and to support them. We thank you for the work of healing rooms, and we pray that that work might continue and flourish. We pray for our own congregation. We pray for all that happens in this building during the week. We pray for everyone who works here during the week, who spend their time in service in this place. Father, we ask your blessing to support them and to strengthen them. And Father, we pray that as we share together and pray for one another, we might know your peace touching us tonight as we reflect upon what it means to be a gospel community. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was talking to Malcolm about how we might, in general, thinking about how we could make our house groups more engaging for people, for a broader group of people in the congregation. And Malcolm been just talking about he's been doing a course just now on the emerging church and where the church is going to be in the future and what really makes church. You know, and too often we think, as I said earlier on, we think the church is the building, but it's not the building, it's the people. And it's the relationships that we have with one another. But more than that, it's how we as human beings have a relationship with God through Jesus. And the kind of shared history we have as we look at the Bible and identify with the stories in the Bible and see how that touches our lives. And so I said to Malcolm, you go away and come up with a wee plan. So he's come up with this idea of the essential gospel toolkit. And at the end of that, one of the five essentials is building a gospel community. And perhaps it's important for us to see the gospel toolkit is about helping us to build this gospel community. Now, one of the ways we're going to try and do this is to develop home groups. Now, for years we've had house groups in this church, but we're changing the name to home groups. Now, the reason why we're changing the name to home groups is that we think home group sounds more homely. A house can be a house, and it can be a posh house, and it can have nice carpets, and it can have all that kind of stuff, but it's not a home. A home is where you live. A home is where your friends come. They kick off their shoes, they sit down, and you know, if there's dishes in the sink, your friends might even go and wash your dishes. Not that I've had too many do that, right enough. But it's a place, your home. It's not just a house, and that's so important. And what makes your home is the people in that home, the family in that home, the relationships in that home, and all that goes with that. Now, what we're thinking on is if we could have home groups around the church, where if we could have, our aim is to get 10 homes, people to say, we'll have a group in our home, and over a 10-week period, to get together a wee group to come to your house. And you say, well, who would come? Well, you find out people to come. You invite people to come to the house group. And people within the church, or maybe even friends and neighbours around, to say, come and find out what this is about. And during these 10 weeks, the idea is that we'll take five themes and explore the five themes over a 2-week period. Now, so what we're going to do is in the first 2 weeks, we're going to think about What is it that makes community? And as you start thinking about this, and I get you to start thinking about this, as you start thinking about it, you begin to realize what makes community is a shared history. That people identify with something that's a shared history. And how then do we have a gospel community? A gospel community is a community that identifies its shared history. And what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. And what is the good news? The good news is that your sins have been forgiven. That forgiveness is at the center of the gospel community. And the interesting thing we're going to learn in those 2 weeks is this, and you can explore it more, is that the Bible is a book that from beginning to end has what we call salvation history plotted all the way through it. It's a book that talks about the God who is continually interacting with his creation, building a relationship, a God who is coming to save his people all the time, saving us from the mess we get ourselves into. You know, when we're in a mess, it's the God who comes. And if you look at the whole history in the Old Testament, it's like that. The example, children of Israel find themselves in Egypt. They find themselves becoming slaves. They find themselves imprisoned. They find themselves enslaved into a whole system. And then there's the story of the God who says, I've heard your cry. I've come to free you. I've come to give you freedom. And of course, that whole analogy is seen as a kind of parable for the human condition, that in the human life, in our human condition, we are people who are bound, we are people who are slaves to sin, and we need to be redeemed, we need to be forgiven, and that's the whole story of salvation that's spoken of in the New Testament, and it starts its whole way through in the Old Testament. And the other thing is this whole idea about God's grace. Grace is something that's spoken of in the Old Testament as well. That God's covenant to be with his people and to love his people is not because they deserve it, because they don't deserve it, but because he, out of his gracious love, reaches out to us and makes a covenant with his people because he wants to, because he loves them. And so that whole picture of covenant and of grace is there in the Old Testament, and it's brought into the New Testament. So for 2 weeks, we're going to be thinking about that kind of story, that kind of history, and then asking ourselves, how can I identify with that in my everyday life? The God who saves me, the God who comes and intervenes in my life and brings peace, brings relief, brings freedom when I most need it. And you know, if I went round all of us here tonight, we could all actually identify with a story of being freed, of the God who has intervened and brought hope back into our lives again. The God who has done something, who has rescued us. It's that word, rescue. You see, so that's what I'm talking about. This community, to have a gospel community, you actually need people who have a shared experience of being rescued. And if you've never really felt that rescue, then you're maybe drowning yourself. You're maybe needing to be rescued. And again, that's the other thing. The gospel community is there because it's something that people need. You know, the church isn't there, you know, because you can take it or leave it. But the church is there like a rescue mission in the world. God's rescue mission in the world. Because the world needs it and people need to be rescued. I always think of that in the, if you've ever seen the picture of the Titanic, and at the end of the Titanic, when the ship has gone down and they're all in the boats, but there's a man going around shouting out to just see if there's anybody that could be rescued. The rescuing people in need in the midst of a great catastrophe. And that's what the gospel's about. And we've got to be a community that's like that. And if you actually look more carefully at this whole story of the gospel community, when Jesus came, Jesus was the person who connected with the people who were sinking, the people who were the outcasts, the people who were forgotten, the people who were in the margins, the people who know their need of God. And that's when Jesus spoke about in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who know their need of God. And that is the beginning of rescue, the beginning of hope. And that we need to think more about that as a gospel community, that's what we're about. And that might change the way we do church, and it might change the way we think about church, and it might change the way we think about bringing people to our home. So maybe, I mean, it's not that we've got to be patronizing and look around and say, oh, look at all the people that need to be saved, bring them to my home. It's not that kind of thing. But it is saying to some friends, you know, you need to hear this. This is something for you. And I don't know anybody here that wouldn't tell a friend of a good bargain. You know, if you know there's a garage that sells cheap tyres and they're good tyres, you say, you know what, you need tyres. I know you need tyres. That's where you should go. We recommend. We tell people of something that's good. It's the same with the gospel, with the story. Someone once said, there's this amazing picture in the art galleries in Glasgow. And if ever you're in the art galleries, go and have a look at it. And I can't remember who the painter is, but I used to see it because I was a wee boy living in Glasgow when you were fed up in, you know, 50 years ago, when there wasn't an awful lot to do in the world and you didn't have an awful lot of money, you could always go to the art galleries, and do you know what? It was always free. You could get in for free, and you could look around these big paintings, and you could go and look, and there was this painting that always drew my attention, and the guy has on an old beggar's coat, and it's Victorian, and his hat's all, you know, it's like Bob Dylan's hat, you know, it's all, you know, like the Travelling Wilburys, it's all kind of bent, and it's like one of these, you know, the doctor that's selling, you know, the magic potion man, you know, and there he's standing, and he's waistcoat, and he's got nothing, and he's putting some money into a wee boy's hand, and the text is, The wee boy's a wee ragamuffin, you know, and he's all holes in his trousers and all that, and the tramp's not any better, and he's giving money to him. And the title is One Beggar Telling Another Beggar Where to Find Bread. You know? And that's what the gospel community is. A group of beggars telling other beggars, there's where you get bread. And you know, that is absolutely true. Because if you start, certainly my sister, as you know, was married to a minister, and they had a mansion. They used to minister in a really poor area on the west of Scotland. And Doreen was forever giving food out to the tramps. And you know what? She got more tramps, because the word in the street was, that's where you get bread. They give you food. And my brother-in-law was also the chaplain in a prison. And you know what? The prisoners used to come and visit him. And I used to say to my sister, and Andrew wouldn't be in half the time, and my sister would be opening a man's door and bringing in these prisoners, and she wouldn't know half what they were up for. But she would be feeding them and encouraging them, because it was a place where they knew they could get something. And that's what the church has got to become like. A place that people feel welcome, but a place where people in need feel we can be welcome here. And those of us who are in here, we need to be people who are willing to share with that. There you are. And I've not even started. That's 2 weeks. And you can see how amazing that's going to be. And if you're not a part of that group, you really are now getting excited, I hope, and saying, I want to be part of this. In fact, I'm going to offer my house to be part of this and bring some of my pals to hear this. And then for another 2 weeks after that, we're going to engage with this whole idea of prayer. Prayer is an amazing thing. Prayer works. But prayer is different, and we all engage with it in different ways. And part of this course for the 2 weeks is we're going to talk about the different ways that people pray. But if you're going to be part of the gospel community, you've actually got to pray. But what we're going to do is help people see that they do pray. But sometimes they pray and they don't know it. You know, there's that man that gets his dog, and why is it that he's always, when it comes to time, he says, oh, the dog needs a walk, right? But it's not really the dog that needs a walk. Who is it that needs a walk? It's he needs a walk, right? And why does he need a walk? Because he needs to think. And when he's thinking, who is he thinking? Who is he talking to? He thinks he's talking to himself, but when he starts analysing it more and more, he's beginning to talk to God about issues and things and trying to get things sorted in his mind. And that's what part, it's not all prayer, but there's a form of prayer that's a bit like that, where you just have to go and get things sorted out in your head. And part of what we're going to try in this course for these 2 weeks after that is to get people to start seeing the different ways that you can pray. And also another thing about prayer is you need sometimes to be in a wee group. It's not in everyday life. Sometimes you need to have a wee group of friends and you talk to them about something, and that wee group of friends encourage you and help you and give you advice. So little prayer groups, little prayer teams where people meet in twos and threes and learn to pray together. It says in the Bible, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Learning to pray and support one another in little prayer triplets can be an amazing experience. Now, I'm not saying that everybody's got to do that, but we'll talk to people about that experience and how that kind of thing works. Or getting people to think about how you can pray through painting a picture. Or you can pray through engaging in the quietness, maybe even coming to church and having the experience of lighting a candle and stopping and reflecting, or praying through the Bible. That's another amazing idea, that the Bible becomes your prayer book. And I could teach you that, and there'll be opportunities to teach people how to think and think through all that. And then what we're going to do is, in these groups, you're going to get a wee bit of homework to do, but it's not going to be too difficult. But it's going to be the kind of thing you can take away, reflect upon, and come back and say, this is what I've been thinking about. And so the groups will not just be a whole lot of people or somebody spouting out a lot of things to you, but an opportunity for you to respond and come back with how you feel and what you're thinking. And prayer will be part of that. Another area, the next 2 weeks, I'm going through this just so as you know, because it's encouraging you to get in. Another 2 weeks is learning to tell the gospel community has got to be this shared community, shared experience of being in rescue, shared experience of learning to pray, speak to God, listen to God, and then to pray with others and to teach others to pray and to see God at work in our midst, but also learning to tell our story. Storytelling is a key thing in coming to terms with who you are and where you are, and even coming to terms with any kind of loss in your life. You know, one of the things I do when, as a minister, maybe when I go into a family that's been bereaved, and it's just, you're going in to bring comfort to them, the first thing I often say to them is, what happened? Tell me about the person who's just died. And all of a sudden they start telling a story. And they tell a story, and as they tell the story, someone else in the family says, oh, aye, and there's this as well. And then somebody else comes and says, oh, and there's this as well. And all of a sudden the story gets built, and they own the story, and they begin to talk about the authenticity of that story. Now, it's the same as Christian people. We need to learn to tell the story about why we're Christians. Why are you a Christian? Why are you a follower of Jesus? How did it all happen for you? What's your encounter? What's your story? What's your faith story? And how did you meet Jesus? But then what you've got to do in such a way to learn how to tell that story that others can hear it and receive it and say, do you know, I need that. I need a rescue person like that. I need a savior like that. And then to begin to be strong enough in your faith to say to someone, this is how you can receive this Saviour. I mean, this is absolutely true. A guy I used to play with, a guy who used to play in the band, the Bogle Band, his name's Keith Tate. He's a wonderful guy, and he was a technologist, and he used to just share a wee bit of his faith at his work, but not too much, because, you know, he was there to work. He wasn't there to convert people. But at lunchtime, there was a guy at work beside him. Worked in the next desk. And this guy was always getting on. No. And Keith would just say, hold on, you know, I'll talk to you about it during lunch. I've got to get on with my work and all that kind of stuff. But eventually this guy came to the point where at lunch, one lunchtime, to Keith, he says, I think I believe. And Keith says, just to help that man, he said, can we pray together? And he prayed a blessing on this man, and he prayed God's peace to touch him and to help him and to help to affirm what the man had spoken himself. And it made such a difference to that man, because he remembered, I'd spoken of that to my friend at work, and he had led his workmate to Christ. Now, that can happen, but so often in our circle, in the communities, we talk about our faith, but we don't let people close the deal and make that commitment. You know, it's like the salesman, you know, who somebody says, I want a telly. And then they say, want a telly? Good. You want a telly? Fine, you want a telly. And then, see you again. And you don't put in the order. And the guy says, but I've been waiting for a telly. And that's what we're doing as Christians. We need to deliver what we say and help people access the telly. This is what you do. This is how you receive Christ. Here is a prayer you can pray that can help you feel the presence of God close to you. So that's what we're going to do. There'll be 2 weeks on that kind of thing. Then another 2 weeks, these have been the difficult 2 weeks, where we're going to talk about discipleship and lifestyle. You know, it's one thing to blab off and say you're a Christian, but then how we live our daily lives is important. And it's back. Do you know the interesting thing about all this is I started to go through this your wee model, right? I began to realise it's exactly the answers, the questions that I ask everybody when they come to profess their faith and confirm their faith as Christians as part of this church. Do you know that? First question I ask is, if you want to come and be part of the gospel community, is, do you believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Now, what is a Saviour? But a rescue guy, isn't it? You know, so this is the first thing. To be part of the community, you need to recognise that you need rescued. You know, and then the next thing I say is, do you promise to meet regularly with your friends and to involve yourself in daily Bible reading and public and private prayer. What are we talking about? How to pray. This is Church of Scotland stuff through and through. It's just the very basics. And then the third thing is, do you promise to confess Christ before your neighbours and your friends insofar as God gives you the grace to do it? Telling your story to your neighbours and your friends. Right? And then the next one, do you promise to give a fitting proportion of your time, your talent and your money to the Lord's work? What's that? Lifestyle. Isn't it? How I live my life. How I use my resources. How I choose to use my holidays. If somebody says, you're off your head. Going away to a summer mission in your holidays. It's your holidays. You're off your head. Minister answering emails to somebody that's in need. You're in your holidays. It's all integrated, this lifestyle. We don't switch off and say, wait a minute, it's my day off now, I can't speak to you. Oh no, that's my family time, it's nothing to do with you. It's an integrated lifestyle. How do we live that kind of life? Fitting proportion of time, talent and money, there it is. And then the final thing is learning to understand that we're part of a wider community. That this gospel community is not just you and me, but it's not just localized, but it's international. And there's people all around the world, and it's a global village we live in, and that we have a responsibility to the poor in India, the poor in Africa. We have a responsibility to the poor in Bowness as well. But we are a people who are called to see the significance of all that and to live that kind of lifestyle that makes a difference and begins to live in community. So that's what we're going to be doing in these house groups. And I think it's powerful stuff. It's very basic stuff. But in actual fact, it will encourage us all to get back into the basic, to think about our basic Christianity again. So any comments on what I've said before we finish tonight? Just throw that in. Any comments or things that when we're preparing this stuff, because it's not all finished, the writing of the study material is not all finished. Has anybody got anything you want to flag up and say, if you thought about that, if you thought about this, I think this would be a good idea. Now's your time to help shape it. I mean, I just think I'd love to see our friends and neighbours in who don't go to church sitting in listening to us as Christians who are believers trying to work out what our, you know, who we are and what makes us a church, and then people sitting in saying, I want to be part of that as well. And it's kind of open thing, isn't it? It's not exclusive, it's not a holy huddle, but it's open to everybody to engage with. I mean, I think that's, for me, I'm excited about that idea. Absolutely, isn't it? A story is more powerful than a sermon. A story is. And when people know your story, then your story can become the powerful sermon, more powerful than the sermon that speaks to somebody when somebody says, this is what God did for me. Well, this is what God did for me. So, there you go. I hope that that's maybe given you a wee taster of what we intend to do over the next few months in the church, and certainly in the home groups. Let me just say a prayer together. Gracious Father, we thank you for what we have received this evening around your word, about being challenged to be the gospel community, about living that community, not just simply in a location, but in our daily lives, not being simply people who attend something, but people who are actively living out the gospel. We ask you to bless everyone who's bowed in your presence tonight, those who are looking in on the internet, wherever they are. Will you bless their neighbours and their friends around them, whatever their outlook is, that they may be encouraged to see that they are part of the church. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Can I encourage everybody to look at Sanctuary First this week? And this month has been really interesting in Sanctuary First. The prayers this month have come from all around the world. The theme idea has been, we've asked people from all around the world to just open their front door and write a prayer about what they see in the front door when they go out of a front door. And it's been amazing. We started off with somebody in Bethlehem just saying, and they sent a picture of what it's like in Bethlehem, and then they wrote a prayer about it. And we've had people in all over the world, and I think today is somebody in Angola. It's Ian when he was on the rigs in Angola, one of our elders, what he saw, and he's written a prayer from Angola. Fantastic idea. And we've had people from just so many different places. And if you're looking at an internet, you know, please encourage you to go and see that as well. And Helmut from Germany. And I see, know what it's like, Helmut, where you live. It was interesting just to see out of your door on that street, and also just the whole area of division, that lovely prayer you're talking about, how there can be division in a community within Christian communities because institutions can make it so difficult for people at the grassroots who just want to work together. But sometimes religious denominations can get in the way. So, and that's a prayer about Helmut was writing about that, about trying to keep an ecumenical idea in church life. So, can I encourage you to go and look at the Sanctuary First? It's www.sanctuaryfirst.org.uk, and there's a prayer and a Bible reading every day. And if you can't remember that, go to the church webpage, and under the prayer section, it's the same prayers that are floated into the church webpage, so you can get the prayers from that angle as well. Okay. So, thank you again for coming this evening and for looking in. And we've got our final hymn this evening, which I thought we would sing. And it's number 572, Rejoice, Rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. I thought that's quite a kind of pacey, moving one that we can sing all together and go out with an upbeat this evening.